Mass. The station is in the Church of St. Peter on the Vatican. The choice was suggested, as we learn from the Abbot Rupert's Treatise on the Divine Offices, by the lesson of the law given to Moses, which used then to be read in this Sunday's office. Moses was looked upon by the early Christians of Rome as a type of St. Peter, the Church having since that time substituted the vocation of Abraham for the passage from Exodus, which is now deferred till Lent. The station for this Sunday is still in the Basilica of the Prince of the Apostles, who was prefigured also by Abraham, the father of believers. The introit is the prayer of mankind, blind and wretched as the poor man of Jericho. It asks for pity from its Redeemer, and beseeches him to guide and feed it. Introit. Be thou unto me a God, a protector, and a house of refuge to save me, for thou art my strength and my refuge, and for thy name's sake thou wilt lead me and nourish me. In thee, O Lord, have I hoped. Let me never be confounded. Deliver me in thy justice and rescue me. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Collect. Mercifully hear our prayers, O Lord, we beseech thee, and delivering us from the bonds of sin, preserve us from all adversity. Then are added two other collects, as in the Mass of Septuagesima Sunday. Epistle. Lesson of the Epistle of St. Paul the Apostle to the Corinthians. 1, Chapter 8. Brethren, if I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And if I should have prophecy and should know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I should have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And if I should distribute all my goods to feed the poor, and if I should deliver my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity is patient, is kind. Charity envieth not, dealeth not perversely, is not puffed up, is not ambitious, seeketh not her own, is not provoked to anger, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth with the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never falleth away. Whether prophecies shall be made void, or tongues shall cease, or knowledge shall be destroyed. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away the things of a child. We see now through a glass in a dark manner, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know, even as I am known. And now there remain faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greater of these is charity. How appropriate for this Sunday is the magnificent eulogy of charity here given by our Apostle. This virtue, which comprises the love both of God and of our neighbor, is the light of our souls. Without charity, we are in darkness, and all our works are profitless. The very power of working miracles cannot give hope of salvation, unless he who does them have charity. Unless we are in charity, the most heroic acts of other virtues are but one snare more for our souls. let us beseech our Lord to give us this light. But let us not forget that, however richly he may bless us with it here below, the fullness of its brightness is reserved for when we are in heaven, and that the sunniest day we can have in this world is but darkness when compared with the splendor of our eternal charity. Faith will then give place, for we shall be face to face with all truth. Hope will have no object, for we shall possess all good. Charity alone will continue, and, for this reason, is greater than faith and hope, which must needs accompany her in this present life. This being the glorious destiny reserved for man, when redeemed and enlightened by Jesus, is it to be wondered at that we should leave all things in order to follow such a master? What should surprise us, and what proves how degraded is our nature by sin, is to see Christians who have been baptized in this faith and this hope, and have received the first fruits of this love, indulging, during these days, in every sort of worldliness, which is only the more dangerous because it is fashionable. It would seem as though they were making it their occupation to extinguish within their souls the last ray of heavenly light, like men that had made a covenant with darkness. If there be charity within our souls, it will make us feel these offenses that are committed against our God, and inspire us to pray to Him to have mercy on these poor blind sinners, for they are our brethren. In the gradual entract, the Church sings the praises of God's goodness towards His elect. He has set them free from the slavish yoke of the world by enlightening them with His grace. They are His own children, the favored sheep of His pasture. Gradual. Thou art God, who alone dost wonders. Thou hast made Thy power known among the nations. Thou hast delivered Thy people, the children of Israel and Joseph, by the strength of Thine arm. Tract. Sing joyfully to God, all the earth. Serve ye the Lord with gladness. Come in before His presence with joy. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. He made us, and not we ourselves, and we are His people, and the sheep of His pasture. Gospel. Sequel of the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Chapter 18. At that time, Jesus took unto Him the 12, and said to them, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and all things shall be accomplished which were written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man. For He shall be delivered to the Gentiles, and shall be mocked and scourged and spit upon. And after they have scourged Him, they will put Him to death, and the third day He shall rise again. And they understood none of these things. And this word was hid from them, and they understood not the things that were said. Now it came to pass, when He drew nigh to Jericho, that a certain blind man sat by the wayside, begging. And when he heard the multitude passing by, he asked what this meant. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. And he cried out, saying, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And they that went before rebuked him, that he should hold his peace. But he cried out much more, Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus, standing, commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him, saying, What wilt thou that I do to thee? But he said, Lord, that I may see. And Jesus said to him, Receive thy sight, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he saw, and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God. Jesus tells his apostles that his bitter passion is at hand. It is a mark of his confidence in them. But they understand not what he says. They are as yet too carnal-minded to appreciate our Savior's mission. Still, they do not abandon him. They love him too much to think of separating from him. Greater by far than this is the blindness of those false Christians, who during these 3 days not only do not think of the God who shed his blood and died for them, but are striving to efface from their souls every trace of the divine image. Let us adore that sweet mercy, which has drawn us, as it did Abraham, from the midst of a sinful people. And let us, like the blind man of our gospel, cry out to our Lord, beseeching him to grant us an increase of his holy light. This was his prayer, Lord, that I may see. God has given us his light, but he gave it us in order to excite within us the desire of seeing more and more clearly. He promised Abraham that he would show him the place he had destined for him. May he grant us also to see the land of the living. But our first prayer must be that he show us himself, as St. Augustine has so beautifully expressed it, that we may love him and show us ourselves, that we may cease to love ourselves. In the offertory, the Church prays that her children may have the light of life, which consists in knowing the law of God. She would have our lips pronounce his doctrine and the divine commandments, which he has brought us from heaven. Offertory. Blessed art thou, O Lord. Teach me thy justifications. With my lips I have pronounced all the judgments of thy mouth. Secret. May this offering, we beseech thee, O Lord, cleanse away our sins, and sanctify the bodies and souls of thy servants, to prepare them for worthily celebrating this sacrifice. Then are added two other secrets, as given in the Mass of Septuagesima Sunday. The communion antiphon commemorates the miracle of the manna, which fed in the desert the descendants of Abraham. And yet this food, though it came from heaven, did not preserve them from death. The living bread which we have had given to us from heaven gives eternal life to the soul, and he who eats it worthily shall never die. Communion. They did eat and were filled exceedingly, and the Lord gave them their desire. They were not defrauded of that which they craved. Post-communion. We beseech thee, O Almighty God, that we who have taken this heavenly food may be defended by it from all adversity. Two other post-communions are said after this, as on Septuagesima Sunday.